Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman, an outreach of the prison ministry of First Assembly of God Honolulu. Now, let's join Brother Bulla for tonight's message of truth.
Aloha no, everyone. Brother Bulla once again, sharing the good news with you. I want to welcome all of my brothers and sisters tonight. Whether you're in Waiava, Halava, OCCC, WCCC, FDC, or anywhere else. A special shout out to our Wednesday night, Friday Chapel brothers there at Halava. And let our brother know that we're praying for his healing from God. Another shout out to my fast and faithful brothers at FDC tuning in tonight. Keep it right, keep it up, and keep it real, bros. And last but not least to my good little brother, Brother Mark, and his dad Abel. You guys bless me by your kind words and your grace. Thank you for that. And to everyone else, hey, mahalo for tuning in tonight. Free Inside Ministry, the prison ministry of First Assembly of God Honolulu, has a passion for the Lord with a vision to reach the incarcerated, the broken, and the lost, and to preach the gospel to everyone. We share the word of God and words of encouragement each week to the incarcerated in all the facilities on Oahu, and also in Arizona with our brothers there. We will be headed to Arizona shortly in the month of May. Mahalo to all of those who have joined us this evening. Tonight is part two of our two-part series entitled Crossing the Jordan. Let's get everyone on the same page and do a quick review from last night so we all are at the same starting point and we're all in the same place. You know, last night we were talking that Moses had led the people of Israel out of Egypt for 40 long years. 40 long years they were in the desert. Now at the end, right before they get ready to go to the promised land and to cross the River Jordan, Moses dies. And now Joshua, the son of Nun, who was a servant of Moses, was appointed by God to lead them to the promised land. And we're talking about the three P's of crossing the River Jordan. Last night we talked about preparing to cross the River Jordan. Tonight we're going to be closing with proceed with caution and possess. Possess the River Jordan. Possess your crossing. So we're going to pick it up with the second P, or proceed with caution. You know, as always, we keep our focus on the Word of God. Look at verse 3 and 4 in the book of Joshua in chapter 3. This is going to be Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. The word of our Lord. Have you ever been to the mainland, say like a place that you're not familiar with? Say if we're together and we're driving in Los Angeles and it's the first time and it's nighttime. Now we're coming, we've got this rental car, we've already landed, we've got into our nice little rental car. And now we're driving, but for some reason we don't have a GPS, if you can understand that. We're not really sure of where we're going. But we're coming up to this intersection, and I've never seen this intersection before, and you've never seen this intersection before. So we're coming to this, and there's traffic going, and we don't have any directional signals. But when you go through this intersection, do you just hit the pedal to the metal? Do you just go blasting through the middle of this intersection? Will you just buckle loose and we go straight through going, yahoo? I don't think so. I think we would be a little cautious. I think we would be driving a little slower. I think we'd be looking to the right and looking to the left. I believe, and I'm sure you do too, if we're both traveling down a dimly lit road at night in Los Angeles in an area or neighborhood that we've never been to before, I think you would agree with me that we would proceed with caution. And we would look for any directions or any light signals that would be able to help us out and point the right way to go. Nobody in their right mind would drive through that intersection like a maniac. I mean, really, my brothers and sisters. How many of you ever had a new job? Your first day on the job, do you remember that? Do you remember how you acted? I'm sure, like many of us, you would be a little quiet, not too sure of your surroundings, don't want to step on anyone's toes, pretty observant, very, very cautious. Or did you act like you were the life of the party? Did you act like you owned the business? Were you loud? Were you boisterous? Would you try to act like you the man all of a sudden? Of course not. You're in new territory. You're in a new environment. So you have to be very aware of where you were and to be very careful of exactly what you did and how you did it. You see, the Israelites were in the same exact situation. In verse 4, it says, since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Who's going to guide you? Those guys, the priests? Oh, really? And what were they carrying? The Ark of the Covenant, the Word of God. So in verse 4, it tells you quite clearly, since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Hallelujah. Got somebody show you the way. It's like they're going down a new path. It's somewhere that they have never been before. Just like how we had talked about driving in Los Angeles or being in a new job, you know. When you become more familiar with your surroundings, until you become more familiar with your surroundings, you are going to proceed with caution. 99.9% of the people would proceed with more caution. You see, as the Israelites crossed the River Jordan, they followed the word of God. The Ark of the Covenant contained the law and the covenant between God and his people. God's instruction were to let his commandments and his promises go before them. Same thing applies to you, my beloved. Put the word of God before you. Put the word of God before the world and let the word of God lead you, and you will survive. We need to keep our focus on the word of God. You see, when you go to Joshua chapter 3, verses 11 through 14, look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream and the river will stand up like a wall. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. What led them across the Jordan River? Was it a GPS? Did they have a map? Was it someone's uncle? Maybe it was the friend next door? Or maybe it was the next door neighbor? No, that's not what led them across the Jordan River. My beloved, what led them across the Jordan River? What led them from the desert to the promised land? What led them from what was in the past to what their future was? What led them to where their future was? What led them to all they had been promised? Was the Ark of the Covenant. And it doesn't say that it led them to the Jordan River. It says that the Ark of the Covenant led them through and across the Jordan River. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream and the river will stand up like a wall. How incredible would that be? How incredible would that be? You see, sometimes we're crossing over into a new season. Sometimes it's a new time, but it's critical whenever we go into an area or we're in a situation that we're not familiar with, not to focus on the world, but to focus on the word. For those of you that are behind the walls tonight, for my brothers and sisters that are incarcerated, for whatever reason, I always explain, I always share, I plead, I implore with you, the world got you where you are, but the word will take you out and keep you out. You might get out on your own accord. You might get out on your own volition. You might get out on your own efforts. But if you are not entrenched, if you are not solidly standing on the rock, on the word of God, the odds are you will return to the prisons. Because you are basing everything on man instead of what the Lord has. And that's why we always say, keep your eyes focused on God. Keep your eyes focused on God. Instead of focusing on what you don't have, we should try, my brothers and sisters, let's focus on what we do have. You have your freedom in Christ Jesus. You are free from the bondage of sin and the enemy. You have not bled for your passion. And it's not easy, but it's not impossible. In the scripture, let's take a look at the conditions of the river and the task at hand. Let's take a look at the situation. Let's take a look at where they were and what they were doing. The priests will carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream and the river will stand up like a wall. So the people left their camp. They left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now check this out. The priests did not wait for the water to recede. The priests did not sit back and wait for God to part the Jordan River. The water level was very high. It was in the middle of the harvest. It was a time when the water level would be at its highest. And if the water level was at its highest, let's just close our eyes and think about this. That means it didn't look very promising. That means it didn't look very good. That means it didn't look like a good time to cross the river. If the water is up over the banks at its highest level and the highest water level mark, you know there's some doomsayers. You know there's some naysayers saying, we can't cross the river. Oh, it's scary. Oh, no, look how high the water is. It's the peak of the harvest season. Why don't we wait till summer? Why don't we just sit here in the desert and wait some more and wait some more and wait some more? No. No, you know, it's just like your situation. Maybe it doesn't look good. Maybe it doesn't look right. Maybe it doesn't feel right. But you know what you got to do? Sometimes you got to break through to get through. And look what happens. They had to get their feet wet. The priests had to put their feet in the water, and that caused something to happen. As soon as their feet touched the water, as soon as their feet touched the what? The dry ground? No. As soon as their feet touched the what? The water. The sand? No. The boat? No. The boat ramp? No. As soon as their feet touched the water, as soon as their feet touched the water, it began to recede. They had to get wet. They had to get into it. You see, God's not going to do for you what you can do for yourself, but he will do the rest. You see, we can't just wait on God. We can't just sit back on our in our recliner chair and say, oh, Lord, bless me. Oh, Lord, heal me. Oh, Lord, give me the job I need. No, no, we can't do that. We have to go and meet God. We don't sit back and watch things happen. We go with God and make things happen so that others sitting back are going to wonder, hey, what happened? You see what I just said? We go to meet God. We do what we got to do so God can do the rest. We go to meet God. We don't sit back and watch things happen. We go with God, and make things happen while the others are going to sit back and say, oh, what happened? My beloved, my brothers and sisters, I plead with you tonight. I'm sharing the word of God with you tonight. I'm sharing you the opportunity to free yourself from the bondage and the sin that holds you back, the snares and the lies of the devil that entrap you. Let go, let God. It might not feel right. It might not look right. It might not seem right. It might not even make any sense at all. But if the Lord has called and it is time for you to cross your Jordan, your feet have to touch the water. You have to make an effort. You got to get up, not give up. You got to look up and you got to get up. You got to do what you can do and let God do the rest. You see, that's how we're going to cross the River Jordan. So now, bear with me, my beloved. We're crossing the Jordan. So what are we doing? The Lord has taken us out of a situation. We're going through a transitional time. The River Jordan represents a transition from what was old to what was new, from the past to the future, from leaving our sins behind us to the promised land that's in front of us. But we had to go through a segue. We had to go through a pathway. We had to go through another situation to get to the promised land. Until you completely cross over, you cannot possess the promises of God. The promise is on the other side of the River Jordan. It's not inside the River Jordan. You see, many of us, we want salvation. We want all the blessings. We want all the good things. But we don't want to step into the river of change. We don't want to step into that transitional phase. We want God's blessings, but we're not going to receive it because we refuse to step into the river. Many of us want God to take us over, but we don't want God to make us over. And let me tell you, my beloved, God don't bless no mess. If you want to allow him, if you're going to let him take you over, he's going to make you over. He's not into perfect people. He's into broken people, but he mends the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. Some of us want everything without having to sacrifice anything. No, I'm not talking about our kids. That's actually a lot of adults too. We want God's promises while we live in sin. We want God's blessings, but we want to continue to live a life filled with anger, filled with bitterness, filled with lustfulness. We want the peace of the Lord while we still want a piece of the world. Ain't going to happen. If you want God's promises, you're going to have to step off of the edge. You're going to have to stand in the river of change. You're going to have to make a choice to leave the old behind and to embrace the new. Stepping into the Jordan River requires faith. Stepping towards your future requires faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. You don't get the promises of God without completing the crossing. You see, some of us, we get so close to getting the promises of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but we go back to our old habits. We go back to our old ways. We go back to the way we used to do things because as I always hear in the prisons, oh, we didn't know any better. That's wrong. That's not true. You do know better. You see, my brothers and sisters, my beloved, hear these words. We know what to do. It's just we don't do what we know. Did you hear me? We already know what to do, but we don't do what we know. And that's where we get in trouble. You know, I got to believe there's got to be a few of you out there right now, either behind the walls or somewhere in a neighborhood out in Hawaii Kai, Waimanalo, maybe Wahiwasai, maybe Whitmore. Shout out to the Bruno Hana up there in Whitmore. But some of you, aren't you getting tired? Aren't you tired of all the arguing? Aren't you tired of all the bickering? Aren't you tired of all the backbiting, the lies? Aren't you tired of all the deceit, the struggling? Aren't you tired of the emptiness that you've got in your heart? Aren't you tired of just feeling down and out? Aren't you tired of feeling like you have no hope? Aren't you tired of feeling beat down all the time? Aren't you tired of just feeling like there is nothing better out there for you? Does it feel like you're fighting an uphill battle? Are you tired of feeling like the chips are stacked against you no matter what you do? Tired of the struggling? Tired of chasing false hopes and dreams? God leads us by his presence to places where we have never gone before. As Joshua said, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. And as it said in Joshua 3:4, since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. My brothers and sisters, God is willing to hold your hand. God is willing to guide you along the Jordan River, as you step off the edge in faith. God is going to help you. God is going to guide you. He's going to lead you and get you to cross over, not to cross into. There's a difference. You can cross into the River Jordan and never get out of it. You can leave your old life and be stuck in a quagmire and then fall back into your old life because you did not cross over the River Jordan. You crossed into it. What we want to do is cross over and out of it. Or you can just stay in the same place and just get worse. You're worse because you started moving towards your promised land. You started leaving your old life behind. And you're worse off because you thought you were going to cross the River Jordan, but instead, you never really made it to the other side. You kind of got close, but you fell back into your old habits because you said you didn't know any other way. But yet every week we come in, we bring the good news. We bring the word of God. We bring the truth that sets you free. So, I got to disagree with you a little bit when you say you didn't know any better. You do know better. You just didn't choose to do it. You see, we're all adults here. We're big boys and girls. We're not in third grade. We know right. We know wrong. And we know that there's a heaven and a hell. You're going to one of two places. There's now three doors. There's two doors. Heaven on the left and hell on the right. Either way, you're going somewhere. And it'll be for eternity. But you see, we've already tried to cross the River Jordan, Bula. We're trying to possess it. Now that we've proceeded with caution, we're trying to possess the River Jordan. You see, but you've got to complete the crossing to get the blessings, or you're going to end up worse off than before. You see, we've got to get out of that river. We have got to get on the banks of our future. God promised you that he has plans for you. He has a hope. He has future for you, not to harm you, but to prosper you. He's promised you that. But sometimes it just doesn't seem like it's there for us. Sometimes it wasn't meant for us. I don't know how many of you out there are tired of feeling like you have no hope, tired of coming up empty when you try it on your own. You just don't make the mark. You fail. Tired of feeling lost and alone. Let me tell you about my friend Jesus, because this could be your wake-up call. Tonight could be your opportunity. Tonight could be your chance to make a change in your life, not for today and tomorrow, but forever. Tonight could be a choice you can make to have a hope, to have a future, to have a better life. Oh, but Brother Bula, how can God use me? I screwed up so many times. I don't know. I can't do anything right. My beloved, those are the lies of the devil. God can use all of us. In fact, you know, let me share with you a few of the people that the Lord used in the Bible that, and I think somewhere between the beginning and the end of all of these people, you and I both fit into this grouping somewhere. You ever hear of Jacob? Yeah, he was a cheater. Peter, oh, he had a bad temper. David, he had affairs with everything with two legs. Noah, he could have started AA, he was a drunk. Jonah, remember Jonah ran away from God, the fish got him. How about Paul? Paul was a world-class murderer. Gideon, Mr. Insecurity. Miriam, she was a yakker. All she did was gossip. Martha, she worried about everything. She worried about worrying. Thomas, remember Doubting Thomas? Put your hand in my pukas, brother. What about Sarah? Sarah was always impatient. And Moses, one of the greatest men in the Old Testament, but he stuttered a lot. Zacharias, remember him? So short, he had to go climb the tree just to see Jesus. That's how short he was. And what about Abraham? He was so old. Guy was an old man. Oh, Rahab, classic all-American prostitute. She was hooking on the streets. God used her. But this is the best one yet. Lazarus, the boy was dead. The boy had a smell about him, as his sister said. But he was dead. God used him too. So I think somewhere in between there, we fall into some of those categories where the Lord might be able to use us. But you see, Jesus does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Of much whom is given, much is expected. You see, Jesus was the greatest man in history. He had no servants, yet they called him Master. He had no medical degrees, but they called him Healer. He had no armies, but kings feared him. He won no military battles, but he conquered the world. He committed no crime, but was crucified like a criminal. He was buried in a tomb, but, this is a big one, but, in fact, I'll say it again, but, he arose on the third day. We celebrate the resurrection, not the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to say a prayer. I'm going to give you this opportunity. If you don't know Jesus in your life, and you can say this with you, it's just me and you, you're listening to the radio, the Lord's going to hear you. He hears your heart. But repeat after me if you're tired of being sick and tired. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, come on with us, man. Come to the side where you belong. Cross over your River Jordan. If you need change in your life, if you've known the Lord but forgotten him, just say this prayer with me, and that's a guarantee that we'll be in heaven together. Repeat after me. If your heart is right and you feel so, don't say it to impress anyone. Say it just because it's what you feel. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I need a Savior. I have sinned, Lord, against you, against me, against others. I know you sent your Son to die on the cross for my sins. We celebrate the resurrection. He arose on the third day. I need a Savior. I need change in my life. I give you my life. I give you my life to take over. Do what you need to do, Lord. Now I say this so that I can hear this, so that you can hear this, and so the devil can hear this. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior for today and the rest of the days of my life, as I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Lord, you've heard the prayers of those that have said it. You know their hearts, Lord. Welcome them into the kingdom. Let all heaven rejoice as we continue to build the kingdom with those that are lost and those that are broken. Lord, I just thank you for those that have tuned in tonight. I thank you for giving us the opportunity to share about crossing the River Jordan. I thank you, Lord, for the word that you gave me tonight. And I pray, Lord, that it finds fertile soil. I pray that it takes deep, deep root. I pray that it becomes fruitful and bountiful for all those that have received the word. I pray a healing prayer over all those in need of a healing, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, Father God. I pray for provisions for their family in abundance. I pray for blessings for their loved ones. Father God, we rebuke the devil. We rebuke the principalities of evil and darkness, Father God. We claim this time as your time. We claim this as holy ground. We give you our lives, Father God. Use us, Father God, to bless others, to be the shining light in the darkness that surrounds us. In all these things, we ask in your matchless name. Amen, amen. Tune in on Monday night. We'll get Free Inside Ministry going again. Have a great weekend. Stay blessed in the Lord. And God loves you. Ahuyo.
You've been listening to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman. We hope tonight's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. This program was sponsored by Honolulu Ford and by First Assembly of God Honolulu. Remember, if the sun sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Free inside. Until tomorrow night at this same time, may God be with you.